Welcome to Rise of the Rule Lords Unchained. It is me, your tiny and adventurous Rule Lord Pete, and I am very excited for another Pathfinder Kickstarter that has just completed, actually, very successfully. After the success of Third Party Con, I am especially happy to see that more publishers are starting to get into Pathfinder 2nd Edition, starting to expand out their repertoire, and the one that we are bringing today is the Mini Dungeon Tome by AAW Games. Joining me today is Tilo Groff, the lead developer and editor-in-chief of AAW Games. How are you doing today?
I'm absolutely floored, I'm stunned, and I'm ecstatic, and I want to say thank you so much to the Pathfinder 2 community. Seriously, I'm absolutely blown away. The Kickstarter has just concluded, and I'm still running high on adrenaline and endorphins and stuff like that. So awesome. Thank you so much. You guys rock.
And you have every right to be running off of endorphins. You ended your campaign on nearly 78,000 total pledged out of an original $2,000 goal. So way exceeded that. And 1,400 backers. So that is incredible. And this is, as I understand, your first foray into Pathfinder compatible products, or at least Pathfinder 2nd edition.
That is 100% correct. And I can definitely promise you it won't be the last by a long shot. Seriously, I mean, absolutely blown away. I'm so humbled by this amazing response. It's stunning. I feel like Cinderella.
Now, part of what really attracts me as a consummate GM to the Mini Dungeon Tome is its premise. So tell us a little bit about what the Mini Dungeon Tome is and what it is providing to both game masters and players.
So the concept of the Mini Dungeon Tome is actually pretty simple. You sometimes just need a little sidetrack, whether it's just because you didn't have time to prepare, because particularly for Pathfinder 2nd Edition, with the high differences in power between different levels. I mean, mm-hmm. Anyone ever tried dealing with an encounter that's 5 levels above party average in Pathfinder 2nd Edition, it'll be a TPK, yes. Unless you're extremely lucky. Particularly considering that, there obviously needs to be some way to fill these downtimes when you're actually finished with Adventure A, but your party, due to some circumstances or kerfuffles, hasn't yet met the next required or recommended starting level for the next part of a particular saga. Well, just slot some mini dungeons in there. Mini dungeons are essentially setting agnostic, so easily slotted into pretty much any fantasy world. And they're usually 2 pages, though we have a couple of them that are 4 pages. And they are designed to be run in 1 session, 2 sessions tops. So mm-hmm. If you just need a diversion, something quick to throw in there, or if you just want to run a spontaneous game at a con or something like that, there you go. Just flop it up and get cranking, you know?
Yeah. And so this is not the first mini dungeon tome that's existed. You also made it for 5th edition and for Pathfinder 1st edition. What can people who I'm hoping will go to the Kickstarter late pledge who are interested in this book, are there any differences, or is this going to be a version of the book that they can finally run if they are not 5th edition or 1st edition players?
So first of all, heck yeah, is there a difference between those generations? First of all, we have a lot more amazing artwork that we didn't have in previous editions, including a couple of pieces I'm super proud of. Matesh Laurentio, our chief artist at AAW, has, for example, drawn this wonderful crab mecha apparatus that the party has to infiltrate and can actually learn to pilot if the GM wants that sort of stuff in their campaign. Absolutely adore that piece, for example. Plus, we have all new layout, and the new layout is much cleaner, crisper, easier to parse. I'm a huge fan of that. And obviously, for example, different adventures have been rescaled for different different levels, because certain adventures don't work in certain levels for Pathfinder 2nd Edition. And since Pathfinder 2nd Edition puts a higher emphasis on power gain over levels based on the leveling mechanics, for example, adventures that were previously intended for multiple levels are now intended for, you know, a smaller level range. Mm-hmm. So that happened. Then, of course, different creature arrays, because Pathfinder 2nd Edition has a different critter array than, for example, 5e or Pathfinder 1st Edition. Plus, a couple of your listeners will probably know that when the original Mini Dungeon Tome was released, I was only a freelance author. Since then, I've joined AAW Games on a permanent basis and have become, you know, the developer for a lot of the mini dungeons that followed the release of the original tome. Mm-hmm. As a consequence, there are a couple of mini dungeons in the original Pathfinder and First Edition and in the 5e version that I personally wasn't too happy with. Mm-hmm. And so what I did for the Pathfinder 2nd Edition version was I sat down and I rewrote them. And some of them, I rewrote them from scratch, essentially.
Wow.
As a consequence, I think that content-wise, this is absolutely the best mini dungeon there has ever been. Secondly, we also met all of our cool stretch goals and backer goals. And this means superb paper quality for, you know, this amazing haptic feel that you just get when you browse through a properly bound book. Personally, I absolutely adore that. Crisp colors for, you know, so that the colors really pop. We actually have the premium ink now. And not one, not two, but three book ribbons. Three of them. And I'm a sucker for well-constructed books.
I am too.
I love
the feel
them.
Of good paper, a solid cover, being able to look at it. And with three ribbons, you are able to find your favorite adventures and keep them ready and in your back pocket when it's time to actually throw them at players.
Absolutely. And plus with the color coding by, let's call them tiers, a couple of levels. So, you know, the lowest levels are all red, then orange, then yellow. We have this rainbow thing going on. You can just flip open a specific section and then, you know, start browsing that section if you need it fast. And then, for example, put in the different book ribbons and be prepared and have your array ready. Plus, we also have an appendix that's ginormous with abbreviated stat blocks and trap blocks and stuff like that. So you don't have to flip a whole bunch of books and you don't have to, you know, also carry your bestiary around and stuff like that. So
one of the things I was really intrigued about was, in fact, the level range of the mini dungeon tome. And especially, I'm really interested in these rainbow sections that you have. Yeah. It's projected that you're going to have about 31.78, let's call it 32% of levels 1 through 4. That's a very common range for most players. Yep. 32.51 of levels 5 through 7. Again, a pretty common range for people to get to. Levels 8 through 11, 15.5%. Green, 6.78. Blue goes back up to 10.85. I'm interested to hear what brought the percentage from, you know, going progressively a little bit lower at higher levels to this little explosion at the end for 15 through 20. And then tell us a little bit about these rainbow levels. What are they like and how are they good for any level?
In a way, the rainbow modules are a little bit weird in that they are a combination of essentially an adventuring premise of sorts that could be run as a combat-like scenario, but they don't have to be run that way. Mm. For example, Newborn Gods with an AW is focused on kind of this premise that there is this this one school that creates automata-like duplicate of certain creatures. This adventure can theoretically be run for, you know, the level one characters, but if they manage to antagonize those automata, or if the target goal that the GM sets in front of the players is you have to destroy them all, that won't be possible at first level. So it's kind of this interaction thing going on. So, Flight of the Griffinwind is one of my personal favorites among those rainbow scenarios because it deals with an airship. And I'm a sucker for airships.
And
the airship is fully statted, comes with a crew, and a whole bunch of adventure campaign seeds. And the Griffinwind obviously is, you know, a potentially dangerous weapon. It's a great way to travel from point A to B. So it could be, for example, you know, just a convenient way to get adventurers from nation A to nation B, for example. Mm-hmm. It could be the seed of an entire campaign, or, you know, it could be something that the party has to fight head on with the help of utility magics or takedown or something like that. If the ship gets taken over by nefarious agents or something like that, it's essentially the seed that could theoretically carry an entire campaign. That's why mm-hmm. this is slotted as any level, essentially. So it's not a dungeon per se,
sure.
but kind of, you know, either a travel interlude or a campaign seed.
Yeah.
Whatever you want it to be.
Then you also go up in the quantity of high-level adventures. So what inspired that instead of having more low-level adventures?
The vast majority of the adventures in the Mini Dungeon Tome is obviously in the level range up to 10th level, because those are the levels that are most popular among players.
Yes.
At least as far as I know. It's also what my own players like best. There is something to be said about truly epic high stakes scenarios where you get to duke it out with, I don't know, the King in Yellow, for example. or where you have to deal with a really messed up version of an Alice in Wonderland type of double scenario that Stephen Yeardley penned. I think that can be incredibly fun, and it's also something that's not done that often. I mean, you always or often see adventure paths cap off at a certain level, and sometimes the players aren't yet done with their characters because True. My story is not yet over, right?
Right.
I think that high-level design is a little bit more difficult, and providing some tools for the GM when they got stuck on their own high-level design and stuff like that, or just ideas to frame things off of, definitely makes sense to me. So that's yeah. one of the reasons, essentially.
One of the coolest aspects of this to me, and something that really sets us apart as like a professional product, is the artwork that you incorporated into it, and the level of detail to the map. These are not just sketches, but full drawn maps, colors mapped out. And I was very happy to see you offer a digital map pack for VTTs for them, so that people won't have to hand draw these or recreate them in their own dungeon thing. They'll have them right there and available for them. So what I'm curious about is, what was the process for commissioning new art? What was the process like for building these dungeons?
The process is usually that we actually start with the maps.
Mm.
We get the maps from our cartographers and hand them to our dedicated team of authors. And those authors take a look at the map and go, what can we do with that? And then once the authors have delivered their mini dungeon, we usually have a very good idea of what will happen. And then they can essentially talk to our artists. That way we get the art commissioned. Of particular interest, perhaps regarding the maps, is there's something I'm super proud of, namely the fact that AW Games was pretty much the first company that did something that made my life as a GM easier. Player-friendly versions of the maps.
Oh, yes.
So here's a secret. I can't draw to save my life. I absolutely suck horribly at drawing, and I can't draw proper maps. So whenever I get an adventure with this beautiful map and it's littered with those little numbers that, you know, spoil that, okay, this room, and this room, they're all identical. Sure. They have the same number. I'm like, okay, this sucks. I can't hand this off to my players because they'll know that all of these rooms are essentially identical regarding the content. And I absolutely loathe that. And we don't do that. Similarly, we have proper walls when there are secret rooms so that the players don't see, you know, the huge telltale S in the middle of the wall. Oh, let me think about that. I've got this hunch that a secret wall might be here, you know?
Yeah. That I was working off of a map from a PDF download, and it had the squares where traps are embedded in the map. I couldn't get rid of them at all. So players into this room and they're like, oh, we shouldn't step in those spaces.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you did that.
That's one of the things I really love about this huge map pack, because I can just, you know, take the player version of the map and drop it into, for example, Foundry or Fantasy Grounds or Roll 20 or something like that, and then share it. Or if I get to play in person, which is not as often as I'd like to, mm-hmm. I can, you know, print out the player version of the map. And what I like to do is go old school, take a pair of scissors and cut up the dungeon into rooms. And once, as the party keeps exploring everything, you know, I hand out the respective little rooms. That's how I like
that's interesting. My GM used to cover them with pieces of felt to hide the other thing. She had it all drawn out, but then, like, when we reached a new part, she'd pull up the piece of felt that was covering up that dungeon. So that's pretty cool. And then the art for this is really spectacular. Is how much of this is stock art compared to original works?
I'm not 100% sure if we are by now completely without stock art in the Mini Dungeon Tome 1. I know that in the Mini Dungeon Tome 2, which, by the way, won't be long, we're absolutely free of any stock art. We haven't been using stock art for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. The majority of the artworks used in the Mini Dungeon Tome is definitely not stock art. And we actually managed to, you know, commission a couple of new pieces. So, yeah, awesome.
That's incredible. So there's going to be stuff that people have never seen before in this book. That is awesome. I wanted to talk also about part that you have in here, which is that this comes with a soundtrack, which is not something that I have seen very often. People release their own individual sounds. The Paizo modules that are all specialized usually come up with some stuff from Sirenscape, but you went and created a whole soundtrack. So tell me a bit about that.
Jonathan is actually the head of AAW Games, is actually a musician, and I'm a huge music nerd. I lack the talent to actually play any instruments. I just don't have the coordination for that sort of stuff. I'm hugely into music, and I've always used soundtracks and certain tracks, you know, to enhance atmosphere. Mm-hmm. The soundtrack for the Mini Dungeon Tome can be categorized in three different, types of track, namely ambience for when the party is, you know, just doing their thing.
Sure.
Exploration when you have, you know, a little bit more epic stakes going on, and combat. And that for every of one of the different terrain types, plus some specialized terrain types that we have. So in total, there are 33 tracks. And the soundtrack also, those tracks, by the way, loop. Mm-hmm. And there are also combinations of, for example, ambience and combat, exploration and combat, where the tracks have been merged, also included. And those are not part of the 33 track count. So it's really 33 distinct high-quality MP3s. Those, by the way, are not stock sound or something like that. Mm-hmm. They have been composed particularly for use with the Mini Dungeon Tome.
Incredible. That is some exceptional quality, I think. And then one of the last things I wanted to ask you about is, are there any kind of unique mechanics that you introduce in the Dungeon Tome, whether that's unique monsters, subsystems, or how much is working off of concepts already available to players, like from the bestiaries or the Game Mastery Guide subsystems?
As a whole, the Mini Dungeon Tome focuses, you know, on delivering adventures. And considering that, you know, the adventures usually are 2 to 4 pages each, to be easily slotted into an ongoing campaign, we don't have super complex subsystems introduced in the Mini Dungeon Tome. What we do have, however, are, for example, new rules for some magic items, for some alchemical items, a couple of new monsters, like, for example, the Rainbow Lich, and things like that. And, well, a couple of people out there might be familiar with a Pathfinder Society scenario. I've written the first part of the Opal of Bopan. There is kind of a twist on that dance engine that I wrote back then, also included for a particular mini dungeon in the Mini Dungeon Tome, with the stark contrast that is now a kind of a puzzle encounter that does not require rolling a single die to beat how it works. So it's not a skill challenge, but it's rather a challenge to the brains of the players, which is something I personally am really fond of. I love rolling the dice. Absolutely. True. And there is a lot of instances where I'm, go for it. I need that adrenaline kick of, you know, rolling the dice. But similarly, I also am a huge champion of, in some instances, I think that role-playing should essentially be the sole solution.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. I mean, one of the funnest parts for me when I'm running the Pathfinder Beginner's Box is the coin challenge. Won't go into too much depth here, but that has to be, you know, figured out. It's a riddle for the players, and I think that is a sorely underutilized aspect of many adventures, in replaced by, you know, just rolling dice to get past stuff. So yeah, sometimes I think you need to think about things for a little bit. My last big question to you may be the hardest. You've already talked about, you know, the stuff that you've created, the airship. What is your personal favorite of these adventures that got written, whether it was one of yours or someone else?
Okay. I'm incredibly fond of Claire Strickland's Apparatus of the Brachymoth, the double-sized adventure I already mentioned with the crab apparatus mecha thing going on. That one's really nice. I'm also kind of biased in that I like a lot of Stephen Yeardley's weirder mini dungeons in this tome and beyond it, because he's always stretching the format in some creative ways. As noted, I'm also fond of the airship setup that Justin Andrew Mason created. To toot my own horn, I also still am particularly fond of the Darrow toll station with, you know, the insane guys that blocked off a river in the underworld and that are now essentially stopping boats and operate according to some weird Kafka-esque bureaucracy, and they're totally bonkers.
Oh my gosh, that sounds so fun.
Trade is Our Sword is the name of this particular adventure, and if somebody got the metal reference out there, congratulations. Music.
So I am really looking forward to having this tome, being able to put some of these adventures in front of my players, whether it's, you know, filler between a pre-written campaign that I'm running or inserting them into a homebrew one. So tell us, if someone missed the Kickstarter, which is sad, but it happens, can people still get this and how can they do that?
Absolutely. If you hurry, you can go to the Kickstarter page and click on the fine little pre-order button. As soon as our backer kit pre pre-order store goes live, which will be in roughly 2 weeks, I think. So
about the middle of March.
Mid-March. And there you can get all the goodies, the soundtrack, the map pack, of course, the gorgeous hardcover book, and the PDF if you are digital only, of course.
Like I said, I like to have my physical copy there. Even if I, hardly ever interact with it, it's just nice to have it there on my shelf and be able to look at it and how pretty it is on the shelf. And then you teased that there's going to be a mini dungeon tome 2. I'm very excited about that because this sounds like a series that's worth watching. Are there any spoilers or something that you can hint at a little bit more about what to look forward to?
So in the mini dungeon tome 2, well, for example, have this one scenario where essentially damage and time are reversing. In regular instances, we have this one scenario where the players are on board of a raft floating down a river and attempt to save survivors from a ginormous horde of undead. And with ginormous, I mean that every single non-water covered space on the entire map is squeezed full of zombies. So it's kind of almost a Walking Dead-ish situation. We have a couple of rather metal scenarios with an interesting aesthetic and a whole bunch of really oddball ones. And by the way, even though we have not met the bonus goal for fast-tracking the mini dungeon tome 2 for the Pathfinder 2nd edition community, rest assured, we will not forget your support, and it is coming. It's just a matter of how fast it is coming, right? So sure. It's coming for you.
I am super looking forward to that. So for those of us who are not just excited about this mini tome of adventures, but are looking forward to the next one, where can people get more information about that? Where can they follow you? All that stuff.
You can obviously check out our homepage where we release a setting agnostic free material on our own campaign setting, Aventyr. A huge amount of information out there. But the best way to connect with us, for example, with me, with Jonathan, and with the authors, is just to join our Discord, because there we have this really vibrant, amazing community. We do giveaways all the time. We have comics where you can, add comedic sentences to the respective strips and win stuff. We actually give away mini dungeons quite regularly for free. So lots of amazing things going on there, and we're pretty approachable. So if you, for example, log on and tell me, I have this brilliant idea. I want to do this, and this. And you tell me, hey, don't you want to do this? We actually do listen. For example, for 5e, one year ago, I think. Was it already 2 years? Not sure anymore. Time is a blur.
Sure.
So essentially on our Discord, somebody commented, I want a playable Drider book. I was like, okay, I'll write a playable Drider book. And there we go. Now there is a Drider of the Underworld. If you have suggestions and stuff like that, hop over on Discord, tell us about it, and we do listen. So, yeah.
Incredible. Following Paizo's lead of actually investing in your customers. I really love that. So whether you're a player or a GM, make sure that you do not skip out on the mini dungeon tome for Pathfinder 2nd edition, complete with 129 short adventures and sidetracks. You all know by now, I am a fan of third-party products. I don't just, recommend anything off the cuff. I think that this is really something that is going to improve your game. So, Taito, thank you very much for joining us today. I'm really looking forward to the next set of adventures that you bring us in Mini Dungeon Tome 2, as well as other Pathfinder 2e products that AAW Games ends up publishing.
Thank you so much for having me, and yes, it won't stop with the Mini Dungeon Tome 2. That I can promise.
Excellent. And until next session, don't let the rules rule you.